Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here, a weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest Casino, hanging out here till 7 p.m. when Thursday night football kicks off. We got Seattle taking on Arizona, starting week 4 action. Want to remind folks, every Friday, 4 o'clock, countdown to the football weekend also officially begins with Saints legendary running back and color analyst Deuce McAllister and the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Join them for Fans and the Pro as we break down all the games from Saints' next opponent at Buffalo and key opponents in the NFC South to LSU's next battle, which is Ole Miss and other clashes in the SEC. They'll make their picks and want to hear from yours. Haas and Deuce, Fans in the Pro, tomorrow 4 to 6 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We've been breaking down Buffalo versus the Saints on Sunday. For helping us get the Bills side of things, Elena Getzenberg, reporter for ESPN, joining us now. Elena, thanks so much for the time. How have you been doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me. All good. We're coming off a bit of a little bye with the Bills playing on Thursday Night Football last week. So certainly feeling refreshed and excited for a 1 p.m. football game. That's rare here, so doing well.
Elena, I think a lot of people sort of want to know about his progress. He's a Louisiana guy, and Keon Coleman, who always wanted to go to LSU. It didn't end up right for him. He goes to Michigan State and then to Florida State, ends up being a real early second-round pick for the Bills. And you can see, you know, there's still a little bit of you got to put a little bit more grit on the sandpaper to get all the rough spots out of him. Very talented young man, was a terrific basketball player. I watched him play basketball in high school. So a little bit about his progress with the Bills.
Oh, yes, we hear about his basketball days still. So definitely still comes up. He's been doing, I think this year has been an important step. I mean, it's early. We still have a lot to see. But he came back this offseason. He was given some notes from the Bills. They wanted him to get stronger. He needed to work on his consistency. And he came back, and it was clear that he had worked on those things. And he had a great camp. Josh Allen was saying a lot of great things about him. And that showed in the second half of their week 1 win over the Ravens. He played a huge role and their offense being able to do what it did in coming back down 15 points. So he's taking good steps. He is not in a place where he is their number one receiver. They really don't have one. But I do think we're going to see Keon continue to get more involved in this offense, and they like the steps that he's taking. Kind of like you said, he is not – there's still room for growth, absolutely. It's important to remember, as I'm sure you all know down there, he's very young, so there's a lot of development still to come there. But he's taking the steps they'd like him to see, and then there's the room to grow that they would hope will come as the season progresses.
Every time I watch the Bills' offense, and I know who's running it with Joe Brady, Elena reminds me so much of 2019 and how he uses James Cook in the same manner he used Clyde Edwards-Helaire here as a runner, as a receiver, and it helps set everything up for the passing game. And James has been a tremendous player for the Bills, but it's so reminiscent because it has a lot of the same sort of put the square peg into the square hole, round peg, round hole that he did with LSU when he was really the passing game coordinator here and worked with the receivers. But it has a lot of the same elements in Buffalo.
Absolutely. It's a bit of a signature of a Joe Brady offense at this point. I covered him when he was with the Panthers as well, so I saw some of this. And I think with how they're using James Cook is even a step more than what he did last year, which is really good news for this offense that they're trusting him on the field on third down more often, as you noted, as a receiving option on the field more often than last year. And Joe Brady loves to run the football. So we're going to continue to see that a lot with James Cook. It helps this offense be balanced and makes Josh Allen really a better player when he doesn't have to run the football so much, so he's not getting banged up as often. And they just love what they've gotten from James Cook to start the season. Obviously signed a 4-year extension in August. So there's a lot they're excited about with him. And he's shown, like, I talked to him this week, he's really progressed in terms of run after contact. That's an area he kind of looked at this offseason, and he got stronger. And him being able to shed tackles and really make these runs downfield is such a huge step for this offense as well. So, like you said, they are using him. They're using him a lot. Joe Brady loved getting the running backs involved, and we're going to continue to see that with James Cook moving forward here.
Ryan Nielsen, who's one of the, I think, senior defensive assistants, former Saints defensive line coach, he was at our Louisiana line camp in the summer in July, and he brought up to me, I asked him, concern. He said, concern defensively is we got a lot of new pieces in the secondary. And so he said, I'm always concerned about how the communication part is between players. He said, we used a first-round pick on a cover corner. Now, he was, he got hurt during the training camp preseason time frame, and then bringing back Trey White, another LSU guy. So far, teams have had success running, but they have played better on the back end than I think that Ryan really thought he would see early this season.
I would say it's been up and down. I agree with what you're saying. They've definitely had issues against the run. It hasn't been perfect at all. I think a major concern, though, for this group still is that safety position. At cornerback, they're very happy with Christian Benford. It is still a bit of a question mark. It looks like Tre'Davious White's going to be playing a good bit here because Maxwell Harrison still on injured reserve and doesn't look like he's coming back soon. So they're kind of hoping that Tre'Davious White can continue to take steps forward. But they've got their second-year safety, Cole Bishop, back there with Taylor Rapp, who Taylor Rapp's been solid, I would say, but there's definitely some concern when it comes to Cole Bishop and if he can continue to improve where he kind of is, because he is, that back end is still a bit of a liability. And the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football last week were able to convert all these third and longs, and it was kind of a bit of an issue where they just weren't able to get off the field. So I think some of those concerns have still held up where there are question marks in that secondary in terms of can they make progress? Can they gel together better than they have consistently at times this season? That is still a question mark. They've only won. Two of their games have been won basically by last fourth quarter takeaways, which is a good thing for a defense, but getting off the field sooner is important. So with what he said, I think definitely taking steps there, but it is still a concern and one of the big question marks remaining on this team.
Is this team built, because they try to hit you with the tsunami offensively, where they put all kind of points up on you, and then they're asking their defensive line, if it's Russo, if it's Joey Bosa, I know Ed Oliver is dealing with an injury also, hey, just play Sikkim at the quarterback. Just try to put all kind of pressure on the quarterback, but the run support thing for me, I look at the Dolphins. They weren't a great running team. And they averaged 5.2 yards a rush, got 130 yards rushing. Wouldn't have been for Tua putting up a pass he never saw. The linebacker kind of cut through. That game's really, really tight to the end. Defensively, that would seem to be a major concern if you're looking at this team advancing far or trying to get into the Super Bowl.
I agree with you. You can run on this team right now. Ed Oliver, he is still not practicing. I don't expect him this week and could, how long that'll stretch, we don't know yet, but he's still out and he's a major loss of relying on a couple of rookies to fill his spot. So there's no doubt that you can run on this defense and not, they got to figure that out. It's not just Ed Oliver being absent either, because we saw the Ravens in week one, of course, a fantastic rushing offense. You expect them to have some success, but they steamrolled the Bills in week one with Ed Oliver. So there's no doubt that is a huge concern for this defense. They have to be able to get off the field and stop the run. And they really invested in the defensive line this offseason, both in the draft and in free agency, to try to take that next step. And because of suspensions as well to a couple of players and injuries and all this stuff, they're relying on young guys even more than they anticipated. And you can see it all over the field. So they've got reinforcements coming. They're hoping to get healthier and get a couple guys back from suspension in week 8. So that's still a far way away. But they do have guys coming back that they hope will help them fill these holes, because right now it is an issue and they have to get it corrected. Or I agree with you, I think it's going to become an issue in the postseason as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we see it more and more now in the NFL, only because the collegiate ranks have been able to produce, you know, numerous tight ends and sort of double-digit, really good tight ends every year over the last couple, three. But what you've got to cover with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and even Jackson Hawes coming in here, I mean, that is more and more of a trend we see across the NFL of the two tight end offense. And it's not about blocking. A lot of it has to do with trying to create a mismatch downfield in the receiving part of the game. But when you got Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and we'll see how well Jackson Hawes comes around, that is a really good group of tight ends, all three of them.
It really is. They've been very impressed with Jackson Hawes, especially his blocking ability. He's been like the talk of the town this week of how well he's been playing, just caught his first touchdown as well last week, kind of what you're referencing there. And the question is definitely with Dalton Kincaid when it comes to the tight ends. He's in his third year now. He was a first-round pick they traded up for. He's playing better this year for sure. He's taken a step kind of similar to Keon. But they invested very, very highly in Dalton to kind of be even more than he is in this receiving game for Josh Allen. And he just has not yet, like, broken through that seal that they wanted him to. He had some flashes so far this year, but they are really hoping now in his third year that he can take even more of a step forward. And like you're saying, that these tight ends can be such a force for this offense. I remember general manager Brandon Bean, when they drafted Dalton, really emphasizing how they want to have Dalton and Dawson on the field at the same time and to be receiving threats in that way. So that really hasn't been realized to the fullest extent. And if that can really form this season, this offense is going to even get better, which is a scary thing for other teams, but something that internally they're definitely keeping an eye on is the progress of Dalton Kincaid, because they've, like you said, it's a strong tight end room, but they think it can even be better. So how he progresses will be a key part of the season.
He's a Louisiana guy, so got to ask you about it. And my producer who called you, Charlie Long, he got to cover his ears because he started at University of Louisiana. He was a raging Cajun before Billy Napier really paid him, and he goes to Florida for that last year. But the progress you've seen so far from Osiris Torrance.
Yeah, they love him. He's a very sweet young man as well. He has been, this offensive line has been playing so well the past couple of years. And he, to me, is such an underappreciated part of that. And someone I wouldn't be surprised if they reward with a contract down the road when he's eligible, because he's been playing very well, They really trust him. They showed that by putting him out there early, and he is absolutely one of those picks where it's like, it's worked so well. And that offensive line, it doesn't, again, offensive line never gets enough credit, but they're such a crucial part of this offense. And he is a key element of that and someone that they just have seen grown and develop. And again, wouldn't be surprised if he's a Buffalo Bill for a long time.
Only thing with him is grew up in South Louisiana, then he goes to Florida. He started trying to get used to that cold weather in the wintertime. That's a little change from down here.
For all those guys, it's such an adjustment. Even talking to Keon, it's like, okay, he went to Michigan State and all that, but it's different in Buffalo. So for all of them, it's a bit of an adjustment. But they've got their warm coats. They're doing all right.
One thing with Keon, he's going to be layered, and it don't matter how he looks. I mean, you know, and if he want to hear a story, just talk to Keon. Man, he is quite the guy that I think he would be a great radio host one day.
Oh my gosh, he can talk.
You
would never be able to expect what he says. He will always keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Elena, looking at the crowd for this game, it's, you mentioned a rare early start in Buffalo. What's the Bills Mafia going to be like for a 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff?
Actually pretty crazy because, as we were just talking about, it's supposed to be beautiful weather. Ironically, it stayed pretty warm here, so it's going to be a lovely fall day in Buffalo, New York, and we just haven't had and aren't going to have many 1 p.m. games this year. So this is actually a pretty expensive ticket to try and get. So they're going to be pumped up. They're going to be really excited for it, and I expect it to be a packed one because we just there's not a lot of 1 p.m. games. So I think it's going to be more like a night game than you would anticipate for a 1 p.m. kick.
A couple years back when they played in New Orleans and where Steve and I park at, we used to have to cross that little – and they came to town. It was packed. And nothing but Buffalo Bills fans. They were having a really good, let me just say, a really good time. I got invited along with the other guy we do the show with, Bobby Hebert. Hey, y'all have a good time. Hey, we got a few of y'all want to kind of tip it a little bit. Man, they were having a good time. That's all I'm telling you in New Orleans. They really enjoyed their stay in the Big Easy.
They always know how to have a good time. I show up at, like, too early of hours to people having a very good time. And I'm like, when did you get here? So they know how to have a nice time. So I'm sure that'll still be the case on Sunday.
Awesome stuff, Elena. Definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Elena.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Elena Getzenberg, Buffalo Bills reporter for ESPN. Black and gold heading up there on Friday. But like she mentioned, we saw this on the schedule early on, and we're like, well, thankfully, we know Bills are a good team, but the weather not a factor in this game at being an issue.
No, I heard they're supposed to be in the 70s. I mean, what? Man, that's really beautiful weather. And, you know, they know how to have a good time, man.
Watch out for those tables out there. Oh, they get the brunt of everything.
They get the big brunt of it. But, boy, we saw it when they came to New Orleans. It was unbelievable, the amount of Buffalo Bill fans. And so it was like spring break for them. I mean, everybody hit the city.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.